FEMA within 2 months, will we?
Probably not, but the whole point is if it does happen and we don't know what's going to happen over the next 2 months, we have the cushion if we have to. My goal is to see a 625. But I don't, I've told you that from the beginning. That's your point, and I understand that. But my point is I don't want to be locked there if something comes up.
But let me ask you this. Is that if we do not get the FEMA reimbursement in the next 2 months simply because, well, we don't know, FEMA hasn't gotten to it, then what are your thoughts on reducing?
I would still reduce it then.
You would reduce it to 6.25?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. Joe.
No, I, in all of my experience in the business world, we have to consider the unanticipated or unknown to some degree to come up a budgeting process and a budget that is meaningful and addresses the needs that we have identified now and looking forward 90 days, 6 months, 9 months down the road. We have to be as well-informed as possible to anticipate what may go wrong with income coming into the business, okay? The fact that we strike 6.35 today, as I think everyone understands, we're not saying that we're going to build the budget up to 6.35. We built it at 6.25, okay? That's what it is. We're just looking at the cushion over the next 60 days for us as a council and for this town to look over any unanticipated expenses that may come up or things that we have in the current budget that we cut to not put in the next fiscal year that we may want to add back into the next fiscal year budget.
So we're looking at, if I'm hearing all of you correctly, we're looking at a 60-day period right now that something could happen or may not happen that would then, okay.
Can I have one more bite?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, Michael, would $100,000 shut down our town? If we said, okay, 6.25 and something comes out of the ordinary for $100,000, would we have to close down the town?
No, I believe okay. I'm happy where we are with our reserves.
Actually. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Michael said a key word. And Joe, you said it too. You said, I believe in the 6.25. Guys, we're talking about $100,000 here. That's my. If it was $500,000, I would listen. And Bill, I ask you, tell me what you want to put in there. Well, if we don't get the FEMA money, that's $35,000. I think we could find $35,000 somewhere. So let me say this, and I promise, Mayor, I'll shut up.
No, 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 because I want to know how Bill feels about what you said, and then we'll open it to
that's
the public.
Fine. So my point being, if we can't approve a 6.25, and Bill, you want your money, you're not going to like what I'm getting ready to say, we can say, okay, no public works. I think that's crazy. I think it's crazy. We have two additional public works people that were not in the budget that we said, Michael, we want the 6.25. Can we have, I said one, you said two, Bill, which was wonderful. I didn't think about the two shifts, and they don't start till mid-year. So if something drastic happens between now and then, we can say, okay, we had two additional people budgeted that public works did not even ask for. We can say, okay, we can't hire them this year because something drastic happened. There's all kinds of ways to look at this. And so, again, I've said my piece, and I don't want to upset anyone, but I'm just saying.
I'd like to know if we could all come to an agreement. In one moment, I just want to hear if, just 1 second. Bill and Joe, is there any movement here? And I'm not trying to negotiate something. It's based upon what has been said, was that we're talking about a 60-day window that do what might happen where we would need to have the extra money from the 6.35 versus if nothing were to happen, we're going to lower it to 6.25.
It just gives us that flexibility. That's all it's doing. It doesn't say we're obligated to do 6.35.
No. Bill, what are you sitting at?
I'm still sitting at the flexibility.
At flexibility.
I don't, you know, I have to lock in our homeowners association's budget September 30th.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, I anticipate water going up, electric going up, garbage going up, the percentages that I have built into the budget. I'm already, we're in July, and it's only a $200,000 budget, and I'm already over $1,000 because you don't know what's going to happen. And that budget was locked in. There's nothing I can do. So what am I doing right now? Tomorrow, I'll be sending out assessment letters to every single homeowner for $395 because something we didn't anticipate. We have that flexibility right now. We have it for a month, almost 2 months. If something happens, fine. If it doesn't happen, 625. Now, I understand Skip's concern about it going out as 635 as a proposed. But how many times when you got your proposed, and that's what people are looking at, what's proposed. Then they actually get their actual bill, and it's lower. They say, oh, gosh, what happened? They're happy. So actually, no. I think it's a good thing because it makes them happy because it's gone down.
And, Bill, I just wish you could tell me one solid thing that you would put in there for $100,000.
I am lucky to be alive right now. Do I know what's going to happen tomorrow?
No, you don't, and we don't either with this budget.
So why would you want to lock yourself in?
Because the staff put it together, and they said they were comfortable with it. They are comfortable.
Don't know what's
Did you submit the budget?
Tomorrow. Bill, I know where I'm coming from.
I do.
Okay.
But listen, they are comfortable. They are comfortable with what they submitted. If they weren't, you'd be looking at 6.35 to 6.45.
I got it.
So I don't understand it. You're talking about $100,000, and we left here, and Gary Smith even left here thinking that it was going to be 6.25.
Okay, Mr. White.
Shannon White, 39 Coastal Oaks. We've already established the fact that we have reserves in every department. Every department. I mean, look at the budget. It shows it. We got reserves. So when we're talking about the unknown, that's what the reserves are there for, okay? I mean, for the unknown, that we can pool, and we have. If you look at the history of our town, we have depended on our reserves to get us out of situations. And we already established the fact that we have 7.5 months of reserves. So I'm not sure why we are arguing over $100,000 because it's already there. It's there if we need it. Hopefully we don't need it. And the other thing is that, as we all know, all these condos down here or throughout are dealing with assessments. Worst case scenario, okay, worst case scenario is the town implements an assessment. That's the worst case scenario. If it gets that bad, we are SOL. You know, I mean, that's where we're at. So we have the reserves, utilize the reserves as a worst case scenario. We don't just need to keep adding and spending and hoping that our property values continue to rise. Speaking from experience, and talking about whether or not we have property taxes, I own a home in Mexico, okay? My property taxes are $100 a year, property taxes. Sales tax, though, is 16%. You're going to pay it one way or another. Depends on where you get it from. Our town is totally dependent on property taxes. I mean, it shows up in all the reports, 80%, 78%, I think is what the actual number is how we run our business here. 78% comes from our property taxes. So we just need to understand the full picture, and we do have opportunities to reduce our expenditures, control our expenditures, and if we have to, utilize our reserves.
Thank you, Mr. White. Yes, Mr. Fields.
Steve Field, 6 Mars, Old North. I apologize for repeating myself. We should know where we are at 9 months versus the budget. It doesn't seem like we do right now. It should be a very simple math. We know what we spent through June. We know what the budget, take 12 months, divide it by 12 and multiply it by 9. It will tell you whether we're exceeding our budget or under our budget. I suspect we're under. So therefore, we have additional money set aside already. So if we can't provide that number today, I would like the council to direct the staff to the next meeting we have on the budget, and I apologize, I don't remember the dates. In August, I guess the first one is, right? You guys should know how much we spent through 10 months versus the budget. And it'll tell you whether you're over or under. And last year, you didn't even know you were over by $1.6 million when you did finalize the rate in September. You should have known. And I don't understand why you didn't. Can anyone explain why you didn't know that you were $1.6 million over favorable? You guys need to know that.
So my question to you, Cliff, just to understand, since we have four people here, we need three people to agree. And if we don't have three people to agree, could you perhaps share what the procedure would be?
The procedure is you would, obviously, I don't know when Mr. Smith would be back. The hope would be that he would be able to break whatever tie there might be. But the bigger issue is the timing, because these things, as you know, are on a tight timeline. The reason this rate is to be set is so notice can be given. The reason you can't go up but can only go down is because the notice has to be given so that the folks know the worst number they're going to be facing. And then if it gets better, it's like a Christmas gift. And that's why. And so I do not know, and maybe Stephanie or maybe Mike knows, or your finance director would know, when the deadline is, whether you have enough time, whether you have another week or two before you can lock in a number. That is the starting place right from which you must go down. But that's the procedure.
I'll say this. If the vote tonight only requires what we're talking about at either level, only requires a simple majority. So if in case there is a tie, then we would need to hold a special meeting later in the month to do that, to okay meet our timelines per the state.
Okay. So if I may, if I'm, yes, Ms. Caswell.
Good afternoon. Very happy to be on this side of this conversation. Liz Caswell, 4744 Peninsula Drive. Care about you all so much individually, appreciate what you all are trying to do. I do suggest that we go with the 635 today just to move on from the topic and hold our council members accountable for figuring out where that spend ought to be, because we do have the right to go down, and they're saying, still vote no. But you'll, the majority will win. And, give them that opportunity to then come back to the meeting in 2 months, say nothing horrible happens, and to say, yes, I am now ready to go ahead with that 2.5 number. But thank you for allowing us that flexibility. But I feel more comfortable now making a final budget decision. But meanwhile, you've got the flexibility, and we can move on to other things in the budget because we are, or other things of the town's business, because we are, after all, only talking about $100,000.
Thank you very much. I think that is something that we should consider. Joe, if you're able to consider the 6.35, I can as well. And I think that that's what Bill is doing.
Absolutely. I support that.
You would support that? Okay. And Skip, would you like to support it? Or
need a minute.
Excuse me?
I need a minute.
Oh, take a minute. Ms. Caswell, thank you.
I'm going to give $100,000 worth sitting here for a minute. Again, Mayor, I understand it. I totally understand it. If anyone up here could tell me why they wanted another $100,000 in there, if it was to build the fire department, got it. The $100,000 isn't going to do anything for us. So I don't like that part of it. And I'm going to vote, let me finish before you write this down. I'm going to vote yes, but I want it clearly understood. I will not vote yes again at 6.35. It'll be 6.25, and I hate that we're wasting our time over $100,000. I explained to you where that money is and where it will be, but for continuity of the council, I will vote yes.
Okay. Then I think that what I need is a motion adopting that proposed millage rate.
I will make a motion. Do I have to classify it as a resolution?
Yes, it's a resolution.
Resolution 2025-07, adopting a proposed millage rate for fiscal year 2025-2026 and establishing dates for tentative and final millage rate hearings, public hearings, the rate being 6.35 mils.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. A roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you very much to the council and to the public. I think we all know what we...
Wrong. Well, why did you vote that way then?
Oh, okay. We are now on item 11B, resolution 2025-09. Cliff, would you please read this by title only?
Yes, Mayor. Resolution 2025-09, read by title only, a resolution of the town council of the town of Ponsonlet, Florida, authorizing the town manager to enter into agreements with Volusia County for the acceptance of properties acquired through the Housing and Urban Development, HUD, or HUD, Community Disaster Grant, Housing and Urban Development, HUD, Community Disaster Block Grant, Disaster Recovery, CBDGDR, Funded Single Family Homeowner Repair and Replacement Program and Homeowner Recovery Program Buyout Pathway, providing for severability and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, Cliff. Mike?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, this resolution comes from the county's Transform 386 project. This project is a way to... It's a way to help people that have suffered damage to their homes from Hurricane Milton and assist in ways that are not already covered by FEMA or Small Business Administration or insurance. So through this program, and the county's been running this for several years since Hurricane Ian, this particular resolution has to do with these programs that were mentioned in the resolution title, in which a property owner could come to the county and offer to sell their property. It'd be a property that's, you know, for example, been flooded out and they just want to be done with it. Then the county would then be in charge of doing the environmental assessments. They handle everything, the assessments, demolition, all of that. All this resolution does is say that if there is a property in Ponce Inlet and you have a willing seller to the county, that the town would then be willing to accept that property in perpetuity. So what that means is if you have a home that's damaged, it's been flooded out, a repetitive loss type situation, then the town through this program would be willing to accept that property in perpetuity as green space or stormwater, et cetera. So that's all it is. So if we want to be the recipient of those homes, should there be one in Ponsonlet, I don't know if there is or not, but if there is, then we have to go through this process for the resolution to show our support to accept such properties if they become available. So that's really, the town doesn't have to do a thing.
Right, that's...
The county, we just have to show our support and we're willing to accept it and promise not to build anything on it, like other than stormwater, et cetera.
Well, it's promoting flood risk management. This is very good. Does anyone have any questions of Mike about the program? Anyone in the audience? Oh, Liz.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Liz Caswell, 4744 South Peninsula Drive. Couple of quick questions that I have, and I know that we may not be able to answer them all here.
The first one is related to any properties that we would receive under this grant. What responsibilities or liabilities would we have as a town except using it in a stormwater situation? For example, would we be responsible for raising the property and otherwise clearing the property to prepare it for stormwater use?
Now the county would be responsible for demoing the home, but then if we wanted to go back and create a stormwater pond, then that would be on the town.
And sometimes we have people in town that are responsible for doing things to their homes that they don't necessarily do. What happens in that scenario if the person doesn't wish to demo their home or further wishes to just walk away from a hurricane-damaged home? And we are accepting these homes under this HUD grant. What's our liability?
Well, no, if the homes would be demolished under this.
One more time?
The homes would be demolished under this program. Basically, if the person says, I don't want this home anymore, I want to sell it and be done with it, then the county then comes in and then buys it, they demolish it, and then that's it. You know, then they deed it over to the town.
And there's no liability at all for the taxpayers of Ponsonlet, and there's certainly no town resources required for participating in the grant?
Only if the town wanted to. No, the county handles everything. It's only if the town wanted to further develop stormwater facility on that property.
And we would have that choice, or is that something we'd need to clear
through
the county as well?
But all this resolution is doing is showing our willingness to participate in the program. But
excellent.
We actually have the choice to accept or decline specific properties.
Perfect. I endorse us accepting this. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Anyone else? Okay. Then seeing none, a motion on the resolution, please.
I'll make a motion. I make a motion to approve resolution 2025-09. Authorizing participation in Volusia County Transform 386 Homeowner Repair Replacement Program and Homeowner Recovery Program Buyout Pathway.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you. And now we are at 12A, which is, aren't we? Yeah. Information on the proposed replacement fire station and site feasibility analysis. Mike?
All right, thank you. This item was continued from the July 15th budget workshop. All I'm going to do is provide a recap of that for those who were not there. We discussed at that meeting the purpose of the site feasibility study. That would include the optimal location, looking at available properties, potential layouts, and then alternatives to complete replacement. We reviewed the background, how we got to this point, the resiliency plans, past council direction, and the resiliency policies in our comprehensive plan. We also looked at a rough timeline about when this could be completed, concluding with a presentation to this town council for any of the results of that study. And then we also looked at potential funding sources. So that's where we are today.
Okay, does anyone have any questions of Mike with respect to this item? Anything? Anyone in the public? I'm going to move to approve authorizing the initiation of a fire feasibility study and engage an architectural consultant with public safety facility experience at a cost not to exceed $50,000 that will be paid from the land acquisition fund.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you. Now at 12B, that is relating to the fire department overtime and 42-hour work week. Mike?
Yes, same thing. So this was also continued from the July 15th workshop. At that meeting, we discussed an overview of the federal labor laws, the causes of high overtime in the fire department this current fiscal year to this point, and how we got to this point of even being at a five-person shift. We also discussed options to reduce overtime, an analysis of the cost of a 42-hour work week, and then that was it. And I believe the council members at the time expressed support for the five-person shift. So that's where we are.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions to pursue this? Yes, Mr. Fields.
Steve Field, 6 Marsville. I apologize for not being here on Tuesday. I would have had been able to spend a little more time on this. But looking at the budget, it says it, basically the firemen overtime in the next year's budget, including retirements and benefits. Retirement is almost 50%, right? 14 point something and 35% for whatever that special. That's a big number. That's a big number. What is the cost of an additional fireman or two, including benefits? That maybe instead of spending $375,000 on overtime, that maybe we just have a few more people and save money.
Do you wish to respond?
Yeah, Dan, I'll take a swing at it, but this might be you, but I've been getting a lot of my education from Dan. But the way that our schedules are set up, they're 24 on and then 48 off. So if you do the math, you're going to have overtime regardless.
It's just a big number. $375,000 overtime, including benefits, is a big, big number. Yeah. Just a thought.
Thank you. Anyone else? Well, I just want to make sure we have a consensus to approve maintaining a fixed 5-person shift staffing level. Yes?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Then we will move along. Mike, this is another item 13 that we added, right?
That's correct.
New business regarding the purchase of property. Mike.
Yeah, thank you. At the budget workshop and at previous meetings, I had discussed the possibility of the town purchasing a vacant undeveloped residential property for that we could use to improve in the future our stormwater management facilities. So we've become aware of a property that is now for sale, and I have made initial discussions with the realtor representing the owner, and they are willing to sell. They're looking for an offer from the town before engaging in anything. They want to see a written offer. So we know what the property is put on the market for. What we're requesting tonight is a direction from the council to initiate an appraisal and begin negotiations. Of course, the council would have to approve any kind of final sale. But if you look at the information that was provided to you and where this property sits, it is within the service area for our stormwater management system that stretches from Bay Harbor down to Beach Street. And so it's this is an area that has experienced problems in the past. So we are hoping to buy this property. By doing that, it keeps it from being developed in the short term and not disrupting the flow of water and storage capacity of that area. And in the long term, could be used for improving the capacity of our system. As of right now, there is money right now in reserves in the land acquisition fund to make this purchase.
Thank you, Mike. Does anyone have any questions on this?
Just a comment. I think it's a great idea.
Yep.
I hope it comes up again and again and again so we have other places to do the exact same thing.
Yes. Thank you. I agree with that. No other questions? Nothing on the council? Public.
I drove through it.
Yes, Liz.
Good afternoon, Liz Caswell, 4744 South Peninsula Drive. I endorse us making this acquisition, and frankly think that the council should take a more proactive stance and actually look at every available piece of property and land developed or undeveloped in this town and beyond, have some kind of a radar screen, maybe secret sauce that you don't share with the rest of us because we know that drives the prices up, right, from potential sellers. But how about a strategy for land acquisition in our town? Thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
Mayor, can I comment on that one? Yes, if you don't mind. I'll be very careful on Liz's comment.
Is there anything you wish to share with us on Bert Harris or anything that right at this moment? Thank you.
For those who didn't live through the wonderful experience that was the Pacetta litigation, a part of it was because the town had what was called a land acquisition committee made up of what was called at the time a blue ribbon panel of citizens. And one of the things the town was attacked for is that by identifying certain properties that were potential land that the city would be interested in. The litigants said, here you were targeting our land, and that's why you didn't approve what we wanted, and that's why you didn't give us what we wanted, because it would have made it more valuable, so you would devalue the price and then take it from us. So that was a part of the strategy of the case. And if you know how that turned out, it was 10 years of litigation. We ultimately won. What you should also know is that Burt Harris has changed in a way that that same case, with those same facts, we could not win today.
Thank you. Yes, Liz.
Thank you for repeating that for the benefit of people in town who were not aware of that lawsuit. Absolutely, I'm aware of that lawsuit and everything that that implies. It does not eliminate our responsibility for looking at every piece of property that comes for sale or that we think might come for sale and looking at it seriously and considering what we're going to do in terms of stormwater. Again, we can either wait to be rescued or we can save ourselves.
Just one statement on the committee. The committee actually named properties that they wanted. That was the mistake.
Well, don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Thank you. So, Mike, you're looking for direction from us. What? Yes.
Correct. So, yeah, again, what we're looking for is direction to proceed with the appraisal, enter into negotiations, and then bring back a proposal for this council.
Do we have a consensus to instruct staff to do that? Yes, you have a consensus of actually four council members here. Okay. We are down to comments from the town council. Council Member Villanella, what do you have to share with us?
Just another wonderfully exciting town council meeting. And I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Joe. Skip.
Okay, just want to give you a quick update on the beach dredging restoration project. I actually had communication with Jessica Fentress during the week, and she got back to me, and I sent her an email. Michael got copied on it, and my subject line was, "Who stole my dredge?" And she responded pretty quickly, and she called me and started giving me information, and she said she'd put together some bullet points for the council meeting today. So I just want to give you an update on where we are with the project. The Army Corps dredging project update: 4 of the 6 Army dredge material stockpiles have been constructed, and approximately 750,000 cubic yards of sand have been placed on the beaches in this stockpile. What that means is they're targeting to have 6 stockpiles. They've completed 4. They're working on number 5 now. One of the 2 dredges that were being used has demobilized. Construction of the stockpile 5 and 6 will be a much slower pace due to the use of 1 dredge only for the duration of the project. Of course, they moved the large dredge over to the West Coast where Gator Dredging was starting their new project. And this the dredge, they call it the money dredge because it dredges the most sand, of course, and Gator Dredging gets paid by the cubic yard. The county sand hauling placement project update: the county contractor has constructed 4,450 linear feet of berm and growing daily. And again, we all know that started over at Crabby Joe's, the pier, and is coming back this way. Planning of the current constructed portion of the dune will start approximately July 21st. In some locations, there's a thin layer of dark material on top of the sand. This material is silt that has settled out of the water after coming out of the discharge pipe. The silt is naturally present within the coastal system and blends in with sand beach. Over time, it'll bleach out. Prior to dredging, the material in the inlet in the intercoastal waterway was thoroughly analyzed in accordance with the Florida Department of Environmental Protection sediment testing criteria. The analyzation of the grain size distribution silt contained fell within the criteria of the beach placement on adjacent eroding shoreline. They also now have a new website set up, and they'll provide weekly updates on the berm placement project on the project page found at www.volusia.org/sandprojects. This update will be entered on Friday and posted publicly on Saturday. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill?
Okay, I'm going to give it to Michael.
Just a couple things. The First Step Shelter passed 1,000 places being put in homes this past month. We're at 1,003 of the people that completed the program that are in homes, working, whatever the case may be, to be able to survive in those homes. And as of 2 years, the last 2 years, 93% of them that we back-checked are still in homes. We've served almost 372,000 meals. As you know, Volusia County put in $2.5 million to help build the facility with Daytona Beach, and then they put in $400,000 a year for 5 years, as Daytona Beach did. Daytona Beach renewed the $400,000 a year for another 5 years. Volusia County is doing $400,000 this year, $300,000 next year, and then $200,000 for the next 3 years. And we don't know what will happen after that. But we're going to be having a celebration. I passed it out to all the counselors. It's going to be September 21st. It's called 1,000 New Beginnings in Volusia County. It's going to be an open house from 1 to 4, and there's going to be a speaker and a program at 1:30 and 3 o'clock. And one of the speakers, we have two people so far that want to speak, and we're working for a third one now. But one of the persons that is going to speak is in his young 20s. He was homeless when he was still a teenager. He ended up coming into the shelter. He has since he's been in housing, gotten his MBA, and is now working for a information technology company, making more figures than I ever did as a high school principal. So he's going to be one of the speakers, and he's one of the success stories. Previously, I know a number of the people have heard about the person that was the pharmacist that got hooked on drugs and came into the shelter after being in the streets for 5 years, and he's now a pharmacist in the land through the shelter. So we have a number of wonderful success stories, but this is the new beginning. This past month brought us over the 1,000, and again, there are people that have been homeless, that were never homeless before, that are homeless today. And then February 7th, and I gave this to the council members, the mayor's gala. Again, we made about $150,000 at the gala. We're going to try and increase that significantly, hopefully this coming year. We have a larger room at the Hilton, because we need to figure out a way to generate the money that we're going to be losing in the thing. And you already heard about what happened with the FEMA. So again, I don't know how to say it. We give them, what, $14,000 and change a year, and we're part of something that is one of the best placements and retention in placements in the entire nation. There was an article, I don't know, I think about a year ago, Mike, a year and a half ago, I brought it up in the Wall Street Journal, that they were commending a homeless facility in the Northeast that had a 74% retention rate. So, again, thank you to the town of Ponce Inlet for being willing to continue to participate in something that helps people for their future.
Thank you, Bill. Just a few things to share. I want you to know that I was so honored. I was the keynote speaker at the annual Floodplain Managers Conference earlier this month, and I was able to share the experiences of the town of Ponce Inlet with respect to the resiliency. The work that we've done here, the studies, the assessments, the vulnerability and watershed master plan work, and the appropriation requests, that was just a very fine conference. The next roundtable of Volusia Elected Officials Subcommittee on Stormwater Management and Flooding is scheduled at the airport on Friday, August 8th at 10 o'clock, and it's open to the public. our Florida director for the American Flood Coalition, Kate Westner, someone who we all know. She's been here to speak with us. She is going to be a presenter at the subcommittee about available federal and state funding, vulnerability assessments, and the coalition's work with East Central Florida Regional Planning Council. That's the council that worked with our town on our vulnerability assessment. Other speakers will be Ben Bartlett, Public Works Director, and he's going to update us on all the municipal and county projects underway addressing flooding, and Transform 386 Director of Recovery and Resiliency, Donna Butler, will be speaking with an update on the funds that are available in county programs and current projects. Before our next council meeting, I'll be in Orlando representing the town, attending the Florida League of Mayors annual conference and the Florida League of Cities annual conference. There will be a joint legislative policy committee, and that's where I sit as the vice chair on one of them. There are five policy committees, and usually we do individual committee wrap-ups of what happened in the legislature, but this time we're doing one policy committee. All of us are in one room, and the only thing we're talking about is property taxes, what the legislature is going to do in the next session, what this could mean to us with a joint resolution if it's passed by the state legislature. So it's that significant that we're putting everything else aside and just all meeting to talk about that. I have asked our attorney to brief us on a bill, SB 180, and he is prepared to do that. And when he is through, I'm going to briefly tell you then what the Volusia League of Cities and the Florida League of Cities is intending to do as a result of this newly enacted law with respect to municipal advocacy. So, Cliff, is that okay if I jump to Cliff right now on this?
Of course.
Yes, thank you. Cliff, if you could please go ahead.
Yes, Mayor. SB 180 was recently passed and signed into law by the governor, and it is, as an editorial comment, another example of the folks in Tallahassee telling us directly to our faces that they think home rule is a joke because they keep taking away our power to govern ourselves. The title of the act is Emergency Preparedness and Response, and some of it does that. For example, again, you could argue whether this is good or bad. I think it's probably good. One of the things it does is if your home was destroyed in a storm and you want to build back to at least 130% larger, the previous limit was 110, you can't be reassessed at the higher number because of having a bigger home. So that's probably a good thing. And there are other things like, for example, the town and every city has to have a plan in place. I think it's by August 1st of the prior year that has a process for expediting permits after storms and things of that nature and has to publish it and all of that. But then it goes crazy because this is not just about rebuilding things that are destroyed. This is about every permit that ever gets applied for in a city or a town. Ponce Inlet is a little different because it's, for the most part, built out. We don't have a ton of development anymore, but for other cities, it is a nightmare, and it takes away some tools that we have used here and other cities have used as well. In all of the things I'm saying are applicable regardless of whether or not we were impacted by the storms I'm about to mention, but because we were impacted by the storms I'm about to mention, this bill looks retroactively all the way back to August 1st, 2024, and anything we had done between now and then and now, going forward, if we do, are things that we can be sued for. So what are we talking about here? It applies restrictions retroactively to counties listed in FEMA disaster declarations for Hurricanes Debbie, Helene, and Milton. So if we are in municipality located with one of those counties, and we are, then this look-back period applies to us. If you were, and I don't, there are very few, if any, counties that weren't impacted, but if you were in a county that wasn't impacted, all the things apply to you, but there's no look-back period. Here's what it means. You cannot adopt a moratorium on construction, reconstruction, or redevelopment on any property damaged by such hurricanes. A more restrictive or burdensome amendment to its comprehensive plan or land development regulations can't be adopted. A more restrictive or burdensome procedure concerning review, approval, or issuance of a site plan, development permit, or development order. None of those things can be done, and they reply retroactively to August 1, 2024, and remain in effect until October 1, 2027, meaning if you can't do anything that will make it essentially more burdensome or restrictive to get a building permit for new construction, not rebuilding, than is in place. And if you've done something going all the way back to August 1st and somebody challenges it under SB 180 and you are wrong, you pay their fees and damages, and it's a nightmare. So that's a problem. Don't know how it's going to play out here, but on the bigger stage so you can understand the impacts. Right now, and I don't blame you if none of you read the Orlando Sentinel, but if you do and go back for the last 3 days, you're going to find that last week, per this new bill, the ranchers and farmers and other large landowners, which includes Deseret Ranch, I think it may be the largest landowner in Florida. It's literally the Warren Church. Had a lawyer, a friend of mine who I know, write a letter to Orange County saying that if it enforced its rural boundary amendment, which was passed as a charter amendment by the voters, not imposed by the government, passed by the voters by 73%, if they did not declare that to be unenforceable or they would not enforce it, within 14 days of that letter, they were going to get sued, and all those bad things that I mentioned would happen if they lost the suit. Orange County initially wrote to the homeowners or to the clients and said, yeah, we're going to have to look at how we can repeal it or say we won't enforce it or invalidate it or something like that. Huge outcry from all the corners that you can imagine those outcries would come from, the environmentalists and all the other stuff. And yesterday, they announced that they were going to fight the good fight. So I am confident that if a lawsuit is filed, and there will be, that much money will be spent, but the end result likely will be that that charter amendment, passed by 73% of the people who voted, will not be enforced, and that will allow development on these rural lands, the exact kinds of things it was designed to prevent. Now, this is not about how you feel about development or not development. This is an idea that there are certain places that shouldn't be allowed to just automatically go from ag zoning to multifamily, for example. And how do you protect and preserve? And how do you keep up with services for and extend water lines and other things to distant areas of the county? But the point of me making this statement to you is, if it is factual that they are able to stop the people from voting on a charter amendment and make that illegal retroactively, God help us. That's the point of SB 180, and that's why it's a problem.
Thank you so much, Cliff, and it is a huge problem. And I want you to know that we've had many residents and organizations contact the Florida League of Cities and the Volusia League of Cities asking for us to do something. Now, the do something that we're working on right now is the Volusia League of Cities has reached out to all the municipalities and we've asked for specific data. Tell us what is burdensome to the town, to your city. What is the harm to your city as a result of this bill? The Florida League of Cities is then going to accumulate all of this information from all the municipalities, and with their lobbyists and their staff, they're going to work on proposed modified language for the bill in this next legislative session. But our job right now, and our manager and I have spoken about this, is we need to put pen to paper and really specify, well, what legislation, what ordinances did we pass that maybe we couldn't pass? What were we planning on doing? We've spent a great deal of money and time as a municipality assessing our issues with resilience, assessing what we may be able to do. And now our hands are tied. So I wanted you to know that this is where we're at. The different leagues are working on this, and it would never hurt if residents wish to directly reach out to our local legislators and express to them the frustration that we all feel that this is another significant attack on home rule. So I will certainly keep everyone updated on how we do with this. And Mike, I'll turn it over to you now.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, fortunately, this town did adopt amendments to its comprehensive plan in 2023, but the regulations in our development code that would implement those, that's what's on hold. So our choice now, we can proceed with those, but essentially have to make them voluntary. Yeah, that's kind of where we are. Okay, so I have just a few announcements. First, I want to talk about Florida DOGE that's been mentioned lately. All cities, as far as we know, got hit with this request from that agency last Friday, or Friday before last. And it's essentially a look at, it's a very extensive audit at what it amounts to. It's asking for where every single dollar that went into general fund was spent. And you know that can be a little tough to sort out. If you imagine the general fund, it's not just ad valorem, but a lot of other different revenue sources. And you pour like a bucket of water, you pour lots of cups of water into there, you can't figure out where each drop went necessarily. But that's kind of what they're asking us to do. So this is a very extensive and exhausting request by our finance that our finance department is having to deal with right now over the past week. They've given us a deadline. It's as of next Monday, so our staff has been working a lot of extra hours to make this happen, all while we're trying to deal with the budget at the same time. There is, under that law, if you do not comply with these requests, it's a $1,000 a day penalty. So we want to avoid that as much as we can. So that's what's going on right now in our finance department. A couple of other updates on police items. I'd mentioned some things in the manager's report. I just want to give you a few updates. The pedestrian crosswalk safety detail that was originally scheduled for last Tuesday, that was rescheduled for today. Also, the date for the women's self-defense class has been now set for Tuesday, August 5th at the community center. My report had touched on a maintenance project by our Public Works to maintain some of the swales along South Peninsula Avenue. In addition, Volusia County is going to be maintaining some of the swales along Atlantic Avenue, finally, in three areas focusing on just north of Beach Street, around Janet Drive, and then south of the Town Hall facility here. That's going to start in August. And then last thing, I wanted to highlight this document here, which you have a copy of. This is a Ponce Preserve self-guided native plant tour. This contains a map of those native plant markers that were installed recently. This document was presented or prepared at no cost to taxpayers. This was done through donation. So I wanted to highlight that and then thank them as well as two anonymous donors, as well as the local Pawpaw chapter of the Florida Native Plant Society. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Mike. Cliff, do you have anything else?
Yes, I do. Because news depresses me, whether it's from Tallahassee or my local television channel or national news, I like to bring good news. And for me, I have great news. I'm going to be a granddad for the second time because my oldest son and his wife are expecting a baby on Christmas Day.
Thank you, Cliff. Thank you. Congratulations. And now we're down to our final citizen participation. It's another opportunity for 2 minutes for members of the public to speak, but they are to speak speak on what you just heard from the comments of the council, our attorney, or our manager. So it's within those confines for 2 minutes. Does anyone wish to speak? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned at 3:53. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.